as here we are with the Cover 3 Athletics weekly podcast, talking about whippy old football, City League football, here in the lovely Western PAs. It's the middle of September, it's fully fall season, meaning it's football time galore. Week 3 is upon us, and finally, conference play is here. Thank goodness. So we're just going to break it down this week's schedule for Friday and Saturday. I'm just going to talk a little bit of whippy old City League football, so we'll go through it. We'll start off in Class 1A, where there's conference play. As in the Big 7, Cornell hosts Northgate, Our Lady of the Sacred Heart travels to Burgettstown, Union hosts Rochester, Fort Cherry takes on Shenango. Look at these games really quickly. Fort Cherry, Shenango, it's a huge opportunity for the Rangers, I think. They've played good football last couple weeks. Shenango, obviously, they missed the game last week due to COVID. As well as, I mean, they're a team that's trying to transition some veterans, some new guys, you know, trying to find depth. I think Fort Cherry is the best couple of players on the field in Max Trucial, Dylan Rogers, D'Alessandro, Mitchell Cook, the linebacker for them. Of course, Fort Cherry's 2-1 overall, Shenango's 0-2. Of course, this is the conference opener for everybody. So, it's, again, huge opportunity. You want to start 1-0 in conference play. I think the Rangers get it done at home. But it's a big opportunity, as well as for Shenango. If you go on the road to get this win, what a way to kind of erase an ugly start to the season. Union hosts Rochester, the Scotties. Love the pride and passion they have. They have a dynamic duo in Tyler Staub and Jackson Clark. The only problem is the Rams are fully running, fully loaded, and they're starting to be able to throw the ball a little bit, but the defense is really good as well. I mean, they're 2-0. Like what they see. Union, again, you know, they've looked good in 3 weeks. I mean, they're 2-1, but at the end, I think Rochester's just better. Of course, they're defending conference champs. I like the Rams to roll to this one to get to 3-0. Cornell and Northgate. Cornell, they rebuilt a year ago. Now they're hoping it pays off. They're so far 1 win, 1 loss, scoring 29.5 a game. Northgate, they finally got the Schneider winning in week 0, but they've lost the last two. They're more competitive, though, this year, but I think Cornell, a little more talent, a little more togetherness, and the fact that they went through it a year ago. Raiders, I think they have to get this win if they're going to be competitive this year. I think they do at home. Olsh at Burgettstown. I mean, a couple years ago, this was a game kind of looking at. Now you're back, and now it's big time. I mean, Burgettstown, they went through a tough rebuild last year. They have a new coach coming this year. Guys, a lot of guys that we haven't heard about, but Jackson LaRocca is kind of like the face of the program right now. But this is a solid football team. And I mean, they've allowed 8 points in 2 games. They shut out West Green a couple weeks ago. While the Chargers are also 2-0. They're focused on trying to stay atop this conference, getting back to the playoffs, but also getting over the hurdles that have kind of held them up the last couple years. And this is a chance to be one of the better games of the night, I think. It's going to be a hard-fought battle. Both teams are good. I'm going to go, you know, as much as the sexy pick may be to say Burgettstown at home keeps rolling, I'm going to go with Olsh. I think the Chargers just have a little more talent going on the road. And again, they were a playoff team a year ago. Burgettstown's rebuilding it quickly. I think just that experience play the difference here. Especially with the Zeem slinging it around and kind of what they have going on. I like the Chargers on the road. It's going to be a good game. Eastern Conference, Canavans at Springdale, Imani Christians at GCC, Clareton hosts Leechburg, Jeanette takes on Riverview, and well, I mean, let's just talk about kind of, the two games that have a lot of attention for different reasons. Jeanette taking on Riverview, and I don't know how much we're able to say this in the Eastern Conference, but it's somebody's going to get the first win, and Riverview's 0-2, Jeanette's 0-3, Jeanette's yet to score this season. I think Jeanette's going to definitely score a couple times. Riverview, they have decency. They have a couple guys who've been around. Can Riverview go on the road into Jeanette as the defending Whippeel champs and come away with a victory? I mean, let's just think about that. I mean, what an opportunity for the Riverview Raiders. And I know Jeanette. I know what they're going through. I know what's gone on from last year to this year in the program. It's Roy Hall's last year as well. Like, there's a lot. But for Riverview football, you have a chance to go into Jeanette and beat them. I mean, that's a huge, that's something huge. It doesn't happen all that often. So as much as I want to say Riverview's going to get it done, I think there's a reason why we always say that. I think Jeanette finds a way at home, gets some juice back into the program. get some confidence. And I think these guys, the seniors who stuck around and some of the new guys that are coming in, I think it clicks enough. It's going to be a shootout, but I think they find a way to win the game and get off the schneid. Clarendon and Leechburg. Leechburg's 3-0 here. They've scored 54 a game. Well, Clarendon, 0-2. Only 15.5 a game they've scored. They're allowing 28.5. And talk about opportunities. I mean, Leechburg's, I mean, they're trying to snap, I think it's either a 31 or a 33-year playoff drought, the longest in the Whitfield. A program that hasn't really had a lot of success recently. They're tasting it. They have a good core. They have a star in Braylon Lovelace. I mean, if there's ever an opportunity to beat Clarendon, let alone to go into Clarendon and win, you'd think it'd be tomorrow night for the Blue Devils. You really do. And then you look at the bigger picture. If you're able to pull this off, you're undefeated, and you're kind of like the quiet frontrunner to win this conference. So talk about the opportunity. It's a matter of, is this solid core for Leechburg ready for the moment? And Clarendon, they're a little bit banged up. They've had some young guys come in, you know, and they're working on it. Clarendon's still Clarendon. But I'm just saying, is if there's ever a time for Leechburg to do this, it's definitely now. So with that being said, Clarendon's been close. I mean, they, you know, it's not been an easy start to the season. And honestly, I'm going to pick the upset. I think the team that's scoring a lot of points, that's feeling confident. I think it's a Clarendon team that the expectations are there, 0-2, feels like probably 0-8. Especially with how they lost the Whitfield title game last year as well. I just think Leechburg, this is the time. If not now, when? So that's what I'm going with. I'm going to say this, though. I think the safest bet, though, is Leechburg's held to under 35 points. And I think it's going to come down to a one-score game in the final minutes. It's a matter of, can Clarendon keep up with Leechburg, or can the Blue Devil offense, you know, or are they going to be contained by the Bear defense? Imani's at GCC. The Centurions, they have an opportunity. I mean, they're 2-1. I mean, they've been in low-scoring games. Imani, you know, again, they got a win, too. I mean, it's an opportunity. I think the difference here is the defense. The Centurions are home. Their defense is better. I think they win because of that. But it's an opportunity for both these teams to try to get to the top half of the conference early on. And then Kahneman's at Springdale. This is an interesting game because you feel like Kahneman's kind of a place where Springdale was last year, where Kahneman's got a bunch of talent. They have experience now, but no one's kind of giving them credit or respect or attention. Springdale, you know, they lost a little bit of that. They have a lot of starters back. And both these teams are quietly 3-0. Quietly undefeated. So someone's going to get to 4-0 and have a conference victory in their pocket, which is very huge. And in this case, I'm going to go Springdale. I think the Dynamos, I think they brought back 20 starters. They have a couple stars who have been there, seen it the last couple years. Kahneman, they're up and coming. They're exciting. They're sexy. They're fun to watch. But I just think the Dynamos at home, the experience is going to play a difference here. I think they're going to find a way, you know, pull away. I mean, you look at both these teams scoring in the low 30s a game. I think I do think the game's going to be a bit of a shootout. But I think it's going to be something in the second half. The Dynamos will find a way. Len Janusk, Logan Dexter will make a play. Special teams defense will come through to make the difference there. And then the Tri-County South Conference, JM hosts Avella. Cal goes to West Green, and it's a highlight game every year. Mapletown hosts Carmichael's, Benworth versus Manesson. Looking at this, Avella, JM combined to be, well, they're both 0-3. Both have scored 24 points in total. Both have allowed a heck of a lot. I'm going to say this, Avella's allowed a little bit less. I think the Eagles, who do have some guys back from the playoffs a year ago, find a way to win this game on the road and maybe recharge their season as JM's in total rebuild mode. Benworth and Manesson, two programs, again, got a win a week ago, both are kind of in rebuild mode as well. Huge opportunity, you know, for a second victory early on to start one in the conference. I'm going to pick Manesson in an upset. The Greyhounds, I think, have been a little bit closer, you know, the weeks they lost. And I think the Greyhounds are going to find a way to win this game. I think it's just going to be a kind of ugly, scrappy type of games. Carmichael's at Mapletown. Landon Stevenson may be the best player on the field, and yes, you heard that right. But the Mapletown has kind of scratched their heads after losing a week ago. Carmichael's, I mean, you got the duo, Trenton Carter, Mike Stewart, the 1-2 punch for them. The Mikes have the defense as well. I like the Mikes on the road to win this game. And then West Green and Cal. Cal's 2-0, trying to stay on top of the TCS. Pioneers are 1-2, and after a rough 2 weeks, they finally broke through. I mean, we like the Pioneers coming into the year, but they've not shown that way, unfortunately, to this point. Yeah, I go Cal. Trojans, they have the run game with Stafford. They have a quarterback that can throw the ball, and Hunter Assad. Ethan Fike can do it on both ways. He's a beast. Cal has a solid defense, as West Green. And this is a game that could be it's going to be a physical, hard-fought game. It's a rivalry they're going to go at. But I think the Trojans win this game, maybe make a little bit of a statement on the road, but they do just to stay on top of the conference. And then, just looking at me, everybody the TCS, everybody the Eastern, actually everybody in the Big 7, so everybody's playing a conference game this week in 1A. Just want to double check that. Now we go to Class 2A, and we'll talk about the Century. Wash High is at Waynesburg, McGuffey hosts Charleroi, Shar Houston takes on Beth Center. And, well, just running kind of through it, it's like this. Shar Houston has looked good. They're 2-0. They've done it with defense. Beth Center, you know, you kind of wonder where the programs are right now. The defense, you know, I mean, they've been in a couple shootouts. I'm going to go the Bucks. They got the better defense. They're kind of building, coming together early on, at home especially. McGuffey and Charleroi, you know, both these teams saw the playoffs this year. They're combined 1-4. But McGuffey has more talent. Their experience are a little bit deeper. I like the Highlanders to bounce back at home. Wash High to Waynesburg. Wash High's in revenge mode. Waynesburg's in rebuild mode. I mean, Braden Woods is a special player for Waynesburg, but he's a sophomore carrying the load. Wash High's got a bunch of big dogs that are ready to redeem the program. Keep in mind, they made the playoffs a year ago, but still, by the Wash High standards, not good enough. I like the Prexies by a lot on the road. In the Midwestern Conference, Beer Falls travels to Laurel in what's going to be a show. Neshanix at Mohawk. Elwood City returns as they host New Brighton. Freedom hosts Riverside. I mean, looking at the other games, Elwood City and New Brighton, the Wolverines trying to turn things around. But again, they've played one game. They lost 39-0. That's it through 3 weeks. That's not good for a young team trying to reload with some veterans trying to build up. New Brighton's got to be 1-2, a little frustrated. I like a frustrated New Brighton team on the road to get that win. Riverside of Freedom, I mean, both the combined 1-4. Freedom's been closer than Riverside has. I like the Bulldogs to get this victory behind Josh Pale and company at home. Mohawk hosts Neshanic. Mohawk's had a couple of studs. Neshanic, they got a bunch of studs. I like the Lancers to get to 4-0. They've allowed 14 points in 3 games. And the big game, Beer Falls at Laurel. Laurel's 3-0, Beer Falls is 0-2, but the Tigers have had a challenging first couple weeks, and then COVID stripped them of a game a week ago. Laurel's been cruising against teams they should beat. This is a test because Beer Falls, the defending Whitfield champs, they have some big-name players like Tyler Kane, Kai Clark and company. On the other side, Laurel, Luke McCoy's been their workhorse for 4 years. He's the face of the program. But don't let them fool you. They're a deep team. It's kind of like I said a little bit earlier already in this. You know, for Laurel, you're trying to get to that place of winning the conference and being a true Whitfield title contender. Beer Falls has been there, you know, winning it all 2016, doing it again last year. You know, it's a case of if the time's ever now, it's now for Laurel, because Beer Falls is 0-2. You know, they've had a very tough start to the season schedule wise, so you can't fault them for that. And then COVID took the game away last week, you know, so you just wonder. But if there's ever a time for Laurel to do it, it's now. And I'm gonna go on a limb and say, at home, with momentum, and with the opportunity, with a veteran team, I think Laurel pulls the upset in what's going to be a heck of a game at home. I want to say they pull like a 36-35 game or something along those lines. But it's a huge moment early on this one, Midwestern Conference, between two of the top teams in the conference. A huge game. And again, and just starting off 1-0 conference play has just such a nice ring to it. Especially when it's two of the big dogs going at it. The Three Rivers actually does not have a conference game this week, as well as the Allegheny. As really quick, the Allegheny. So these two have no conference games. The Allegheny, Ligonier Valley, Sarah Catholic, both 3-0. Steel Valley's 2-0. Shadyside's 2-1. Apollo Ridge, Summit Academy, both 0-3. And then the Three Rivers, Starhawks is 3-0. Southside, Western Beaver, both 2-1. Brentwood, Carlington, Cena, Sal, all 1-2 as overall records. And then you'll have Frazier also playing non-conference for out of the century this week. They're 0-3 overall as well. And then just looking at the non-conference games that involves them, Southside plays Carrick. The Rams should have no trouble there. Just looking at my list really quick, excuse me. 2A matchup, Lincoln Valley hosts Frazier. Lincoln Valley's cruising, Frazier's struggling. Rams make a statement to get to 4-0 at home. The Apollo Ridge Freeport game is off, so the Vikings have a week to kind of just retool and regroup. Looking at this, Brentwood hosts Quaker Valley. That's an interesting game. And just to talk about that, was Quaker Valley's in 3A. The Quakers showed some life on offense last week. Brentwood, I think, in their worst performance last week. I'm going to go Quaker Valley with the win on the road. And then C. LaSalle goes to Sarah Catholic. Sarah Catholic, I mean, they're veteran, they're very talented, they're very deep, they're hungry for a title. St. LaSalle is trying to rebuild the program. They did win a week ago, but I like the Eagles at home to fly. Shadyside's at Carleton. I like Shadyside, the Shadyside Bulldogs on the road there. As they're low-key doing some good things. And then another 3-8-2 matchup. Keystone Oaks hosts Steel Valley. Interesting game here. KO's played really good football. Steel Valley has well shocked everyone to be undefeated at this point. I'm going to go the Eagles at home. I just think the Eagles have a little bit more versatility. They have a little bit more bulk. But again, this should be actually a low-key, really good game. And then Summit Academy takes on Newcastle. You like Newcastle comfortably there. And then a big non-conference game. It's a 6 o'clock start time. Avonworth hosting Starrocks. A 3A-2A matchup. They're both undefeated. This game, you could see probably 80-some points scored. This is going to be literally a show to watch. So that'll be a fun game there as a non-conference clash. Class 3A conference action. Let's talk about that first. In the Northwestern 6, you will have... Actually, the Northwestern 6 actually is the one that's not playing a conference game. My apologies. As Avonworth, we just talked about, them and Central Valley both 3-0. Keystone Oaks is 2-1. Hopewell, Ambridge, Quaker Valley combined 0-8. So, Ambridge, what are they doing for their conference play? They're taking on Aliquippa. A very old and traditional neighborhood rivalry is renewed. But Aliquippa, it's Aliquippa. Ambridge is in rebuild mode. I do think in a couple of years, the Bridgers will be respectable once again. But at the end of the day, Aliquippa on the road is going to win, and you know they'll do it comfortably. But it's good to see these guys playing again. It's just positive where Ambridge is headed as a program. And then Central Valley goes to Blackhawk, 3A-4A matchup. I like Central Valley. I just think them on the road, they're the better team. Lane Alexander's best player on the field. Now, Blackhawk has some boys, and Lorenzo Jenkins, Carson Heckathorn, Carson Davidson. They have some veterans as well, but I think Central Valley, until they lose, can't pick against them. I like them on the road of that non-conference clash. And then look at the other two that have conference play starting. The Allegheny 7. Looking at that. Burrell goes the East A. Derry hosts Deer Lakes, North Carolina Valley. The Trojans, they're undefeated. Come off a hard fight over Blackhawk. Valley's winless. Trojans have no trouble in this one. East A, Freeport both 1-2. Freeport, of course, doesn't going to play because of COVID this week. East A takes on Burrell. Everybody says conference is winless, by the way. I like East A. They say they're just a better team than they're at home. And then Deer Lakes, Derry, someone's going to get off the schneid. We're going to be 1-0 in the conference. I think Deer Lakes is better. I think that Derek Burke, sophomore quarterback, is made to watch. They have a little more versatility in offense. I think Deer Lakes finds a way to win this game, as these two teams have struggled to score points. But they've had trouble stopping people, too. So someone's got to give, but I think the Lancers on the road. Then the Interstate Conference. Elizabeth Ford's at Brownsville. Southmoreland hosts South A. Yawk hosts South Park. I mean, Yawk and South Park both winless. Someone's got the schneid. South Park's a better team. They'll get the job done. South A and Southmoreland. The Gladiators are 0-3. They need a win. The Scotties are 2-1. I think the Scotties are playing better football, and I think they're going to find a way to win. But South A's got some guys that are really talented, so they could pull the upset at any time. EF at Brownsville. EF, they're 1-2, but talk about perfect time for a bounce-back game. They'll do that without much trouble. And EF's lost two games by a total of not that many points, so keep an eye on that, too. And then Mount Pleasant's 2-1. They're playing out of conference. as let me see here. As they're going to Latrobe, I think Latrobe's gonna find a way to win at home. Mount Pleasant trying to bounce back. This game's gonna have a lot of points. That'll be a fun one to watch for the entertainment. And then really quick to kind of divert from the schedule, just talking about classes, these three classes. It's kind of lacking depth. I mean, you have Avaworth, Central Valley, the 1-2 punch in the Northwestern 6. They're going to go back and forth. So KO is saying, hey, what about us? And they're right, because they're right in the mix. They beat Avaworth last year. I mean, so KO is definitely a player, but it's kind of like those three. And then, yeah. And the Allegheny is very similar. The Allegheny 7. Because North Calix, they're the big dogs on top. East A struggled. Freeport struggled this year. And the rest of the conference hasn't won a game yet. So it's kind of like, yeah, North Calix, the contender, the other two are trying to get into the mix. Maybe there's a bit of a difference at this point. Then the Interstate, EF, I mean, they've had a tough non-conference, so they've lost. Southmoreland is there, so is Mount Pete. You expected those three to be towards the top of the conference anyways. But then the bottom three are kind of like, I mean, the bottom four, excuse me, you've got to win a game. So it's just a dynamic split. You know, you look at it kind of the contenders, you look at, you know, Avaworth, Central Valley, North Catholic, and then probably KO is like the fourth contender at this point, respecting that EF, Southmoreland, and Mount Pierre in the mix, but you just kind of wonder what's going to play out. And then 2A, I mean, Ligonier Valley, people doubted them, we were high on them based on their veteran, I mean, they had 21 out of 22 starters back, and they were a 500 team a year ago, like, come on now. Them and Sarah's going to be a fun battle to watch. Steel Valley's been a nice surprise, and I think they're legit. Shadyside, they're going to be tough to beat. I'm looking at the rest of the 2A. I mean, Wash High's doing their business, but McGuffey struggled. Shar Houston's emerged a little bit, but we'll see how it goes in conference play. And then it's kind of your wing for somebody else to see what they can do. The Midwestern, you know it's going to be deep. I mean, Elwood City's rebuilding. Riverside's rebuilding a little bit. Mohawks, you know, can they take advantage of that? But again, how good are they? But the other five teams, yeah, I mean, it's like the group of death. You know, you got to take your turn every week almost. And the Three Rivers, you expect Star Rocks to kind of be above everybody. They've shown that. So Southside, West Beaver are two quality teams that compare to Starks. I mean, they'll get the crack at them later on in the year, but the rest of it's kind of like, what do we have? So, and then in 1A, you know what I mean, the usual big dogs, it's a bit different. I mean, Burgettstown is undefeated, Olsh and Rochester up there, you know, and again, the Big Seven's competitive, so I think it's going to be more competitive this year, too. The Eastern, you see Kahneman, Leechburg, Springdale's undefeated teams, and then GCC's in fourth. Now, granted, they're all 0-0 conference, so, you know, you halt yourself, and you're going to wait a couple weeks before you start going crazy about that, but that's what it looks like. And the TCS, you know, the usuals. Kyle and Carmichael's are up there. You know, West Green's had a slow start, but you expect them to turn around. Mapletown, you know, we thought this year would be the year for them to be back, just because of kind of us kind of being in rebuild mode, or kind of having to replace a lot. So it's kind of where we're looking at, you know, through the first couple weeks as conference play is opening up. Now let's talk about Class 4A and what all we have. So the Big 8 begins. West Mifflin hosts Belle Vernon. Ringgold versus Laurel Highlands. TJ takes on Trinity. And looking at those games, you know, Laurel Highlands are 3-0. Great opportunity to get to 4-0. And against Ringgold, who's won two games, they've showed a lot of progress, a lot of positivity where it's been missing for a while. By Laurel Hounds or Ronnie Gallagher, they just got too much. They're playing too good right now. So, I mean, definitely an upset alert because, I mean, when you have all the, what you have in the conference, you're definitely looking ahead. But Ringgold's going to put up a fight, but I think Mustangs too much talent not to win by a couple of scores. And then the big game, Belle Vernon and West Mifflin. The Titans, they have talent. I mean, they got off the schneid, but Belle Vernon, they're just rolling. I mean, they're on all cylinders right now. And it's hard to go against Devin Whitlock and the Leopards, and again, on the road, just too much. And then TJ Trinity, I mean, they've shown offense. I mean, definitely they've been fun to watch, but TJ's TJ, and they've proven that through 2 weeks. They really have. I like the Jaguars at home with the defense. And you have McKeesport playing a team out from New York this week. It'll be a nice challenge for the Tigers, 3-0. They've looked really good. They fought their ways through the last couple weeks to get wins. I think it'll be a good challenge for them. I'm going to stick with them to win. Represent the Whippy Olin style. The Greater Allegheny, Hampton hosts Armstrong, Knock versus Greensburg Salem, Morris takes on Highlands, Plums in Indiana, and boy, how has this conference flipped in a year? I mean, because you look at this game, Morris and Plum are both 0-3, And I'll be honest, the way Indiana's scoring and running the football and what they're doing, and defensively they've held up in three games, and Plum hasn't really been able to score much. Eric Moore's still maybe the best player on the field, but at the end, I think Indiana's playing too good right now. And they got, and they're versatile on offense. It just isn't one guy carrying it. It's Flint, Harrington, Wilson. They're all doing it. I think Indiana gets a huge conference opening win at home. And I think Highlands goes on the road with Chandler Timmons and company and wins that game and puts up some numbers. And also, they've only allowed 13 points in part of their 3-0 start. So I think that as well, with a Mars team that hasn't been able to score, perfect mix for Highlands. Knox hosting Greensburg Salem. Knox coming off a win. GS has won back-to-back games. Talk about momentum here. I talk about sustaining early momentum. But the Golden Lions won a year ago, and I think they win again. I just think Hayden Teska and that offense is just clicking. Kobe Rubrecht, maybe the best player in this matchup. I like the Lions to get the third one on the road. Hampton and Armstrong, talk about a big game. Hampton's 3-0. They have the run attack on offense. They have the veteran quarterback. They have the solid defense. Armstrong has the superstar quarterback that may be the best in the Whippy Olin Jr., Caden Olson, and he has guys around him. And the defense, it's been very good through 3 weeks. The only problem is the run game still kind of for the Riverhawks. Hampton's at home. Hampton was our pick to win the conference coming into the year, and we're going to stick with Hampton. But this should be a very good game. It's a case of power run versus the aerial attack. Two good defense. Two solid defenses. Hampton, I think, is a little bit better. But I like them at home. But this should be a very good game. And, of course, Hampton Highlands are both 3-0. Armstrong, GS, Indiana all 2-1. Knox 1-2. Mars Plum both 0-3, like we said. And then the Parkway Conference. The conference play not just yet. As Beavers 2-0, Shar Valley, Newcastle 2-1, Alcorp is 1-1, Blackhawks 1-2, Montour is 0-3. We talked about some of these non-conference games with them, but the other ones that are involved. Looking at Shar Valley goes to South Fayette, which that's interesting. That's a little neighborhood rivalry. Colts, they edged it out a week ago. Lions are, but I'm going to go the Lions. I think South Fayette's going to find a way to win this game, but it should be a very good game. Montour goes to Hopewell. Hopewell's in rebuild mode. I like Montour to get the win there, go off the Schneid. And then, we talked about everybody else. So, and we'll talk about 4A really quickly as a whole. I mean, you know the Big 8's loaded with the Big 3 and TJ, Bill Vernon, and McKeesport. But Lower Highlands is 3-0. They've taken care of business, and they've done it very convincingly. They should get to 4-0 this week. And I just think for them, they keep building momentum. They keep doing, take care of their business. I really do think they could pose a fight against the Big 3 in this conference. And, you know, and they're definitely a dark horse. They're becoming one. The Great Allegheny, Hampton and Highlands, you know. I mean, they've been the top two so far. They're also undefeated for a reason. Hampton, we expected. Highlands, we aren't sure, but we like what we see. Armstrong, I mean, this conference, though, like I said, Mars and Plum have kind of, you know, sunk to the bottom. Knock has an opportunity to try to turn things around quickly tomorrow. But I think right now you have a wide open conference behind Hampton, and I think, you know, tomorrow's gonna, I mean, I know it's the opener in conference play, but I think tomorrow's gonna say a lot about kind of the direction this could take in the next couple weeks. And the Parkway again, Beavers, I mean, they've had success in out of conference, good for them, hopefully it builds. Shar Valley, they've looked a little shaky the last 2 weeks. They need to figure it out before this starts, and it's gonna be a hard 5-week fight. Newcastle, they're getting healthy, they're getting better, watch out for them. Aliquippa, I mean, it's Aliquippa. You know, Blackhawk, they're not going to be an easy beat. And then Montour, and they had a lot to replace. It's kind of shown. But if they could figure it out with the strong reports tomorrow, maybe we could catapult them to turn things around. Now let's talk about Class 5A. As Class 5A, there is no conference play just yet. So the non-conference schedule, bear with me as I go through the list of spread out games. We talked about Safed already. Connellsville goes to Kiski. I like the Cavaliers comfortably in that game. Franklin Regional hosts Fox Chapel. The Foxes are feeling good. The Panthers, after their good week zero, just have not had one. I'm going to pick an upside. I think Fox Chapel on the road, feeling good against a team that's, you know, not so feeling good, gets a win. Gateway at Bethel Park. I like the Gators on the road comfortably. Bethel Park is good, but Gateway's just better. We talked about Latrobe already. North Hills at Moon. This is a big game to circle. North Hills trying to bounce back after a frustrating loss at home. It was a physical football game. Moon's 3-0. All they know is physical football. I think Moon at home makes a statement. Doesn't blow them out, but makes a statement by shutting them down. I like Moon to win this game. Kind of like a 22-0 scoreline, maybe 22-7. Penn Trafford hosts Peters Township, and again, these two have had some battles over the years recently. Penn Trafford's home. Both these teams licking their wounds, though. The Warriors went to the beach, and it wasn't such a great vacation as they got rolled over by Devin Whitlock and the Leopards. Peters Township, they got shut out by Mount Lebanon. Penn Trafford's at home. Both these teams expect to be in the mix. I think them being at home is going to help. I think Iacomelli's the best player in the field. I like Penn Trafford in this game, but it should be a very good game. West State hosts Shaler. And talk about this. I mean, West State's 2-0, Shaler's 2-1. I mean, both these teams are there. It's a huge opportunity. And Shaler took Hampton wire to wire last week. And actually had a lead in the fourth quarter before losing an OT. West State's lit it up on offense, but their defense, it's been hit or miss. They were opportunistic a week ago. Had a couple big defensive touchdowns as special teams play, too. I think this. Defense, special teams, it's always an overlooked factor in football. Like we like to throw it in there. It's, oh yeah, it comes down to defense, it comes down to special teams. Yeah. But truthfully speaking, like obviously offense and the skill positions get all the glamour and get all the talk. But truthfully, defense and special teams matter. I think in this game it's going to be huge. And I think West State has the better playmakers. They're hungry for the playoffs. Shaler's happy to be 2-1, and we're happy for him. But I think it's one thing to be happy, another thing to be hungry. I'm going to go West State to win this game. But I think it's going to be a better game than advertised. And I think, again, it may be another heartbreak shootout for Shaler. And then two other ones. Woody High's at Penn Hills. A rivalry renewed here. Both teams, though, need to turn the corner. Penn Hills, frustrating last couple weeks, as Woody High. Woody High's 1-2. Penn Hills is 0-2. I think Wolverines on the road get this done. I just think the penalty defense has struggled more than Woody High's. I mean, Woody High's given up 22 points in 3 games, and they've lost 2 of them. You know, where Pendles has given up 89 in 2 games. And Deontay Williams thinks the best player on the field. I think all that together, Woody High gets this win. And honestly, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with both communities after the tragedy that happened in the past week, so. Best wishes to everybody in those communities and everything involved. Obviously, violence, you know, is never the answer. It's not cliche. It is the truth. Like, use your words, talk about it, stop and think before you go do something. So hopefully they just have a good, hard-fought football game that just is a positive thing for both communities. And then the other non-conference game of 5A, which, again, headlines, Pine Richland hosting Upper St. Clair, USC's 2-1. PR is 0-3. Now, granted, you look at PR's schedule. I mean, Harrisburg, Central Valley. I'm sorry, Seneca Valley and Central Catholic. So, I mean, you know, it's not like we're losing, you know. And USC's also had a tough challenge, too. They lost to Mount Lebanon. You know, so there's no shame in that. USC PR. I mean, PR, you're 0-3. You're at home again. You were up 28-7 on Central about 4 minutes in the second quarter, and you let it slip away. What a blown opportunity. But what does that do to a team, though? Because, I mean, you had that, and then just slipped right out away from you. How do you bounce back from that? And tomorrow night's going to be a big indicator for, again, with everything going on, and you think for a team that's the defending Whippy and State 5A champions, I mean, and we're not even really talking about a strong graduating class that just kind of left it. It's like, oh yeah, here's the new guys. Like, that's not even it. It's all the drama, everything they've had to deal with since April. And honestly, probably it's like somewhere in March that we just didn't hear about it. Like, I mean, for a program that was built and where they're at, it's just frustrating from the outside looking in, but not having any bias. It's frustrating. Because you feel for those kids, you feel for the families, you feel for the community, you feel for the school. The part of the school that didn't have any involvement in the decision. Now they're 0-3. You play your arch rival still in Central, and what happened happens, and you lose, and it was on TV, Friday Night Rivals and all that. I mean, honestly, I mean, you compare that to being blown out by them. I don't know what would have been a worse scenario. To me, having that success early and losing it, and losing like you did, is worse than getting blown out. So now you get Upper St. Clair, who's hungry. This group wants to redeem after what's been kind of like a letdown finish the last 2 years. as well as a team that thinks they can win the Allegheny Six, that can make a deep run and win this whole thing, and what a chance to do so. You know, and I'm going to say Upper St. Clair on the road. They're veteran, they're experienced, they're 2-1. You know, or PR, you're 0-3 and you let a good opportunity slip away. And even the week before, you looked like you snatched victory out of defeat in Seneca Valley, only to have them drive right on you and beat you. It's just the case that the USC is the game breakers. You know, I just think PR might be a little bit shaky for confidence. So I'm going to go USC on the road, and it's going to be a high-scoring back-and-forth game. It's probably going to come down to the final 4 minutes, too. But I just think, you know, you've lost twice, you know, in those fashions. It might just be a theme. Not a good one, but it might be one. And looking at 5A, to kind of continue with the Northeast, the Northeast standings here. Kiski's 3-0, North Hills and Shaler are 2-1, Fox Chapel's 1-2, then Pennell's and PR are 0-5 combined. Who would have thunk we'd ever say that? But talk about opportunity, because Kiski's playing good sound football. North Hills, you know, they've looked the part. We'll see how it was a physical match. We'll see how they do. Shaler, it's exciting for them. And Fox Chapel, it's an opportunity to get the 2-2 for them. And then Pennell's PR, can the bleeding stop? The Big East Conference, Gateway Penn Trafford 2-1. Franklin Angel, Latrobe, Woody High 1-2. Connellsville 0-3. Falcons are rebuilding. Woody High, they've had two tough, frustrating losses. Talk of them trying to get the bad taste out of their mouth tomorrow. You know, Latrobe's been, and they put up some fun stuff to watch, but they've lost twice. Franklin Angel's had two tough weeks after a good week zero performance. But again, how good's Plum? So now you kind of question it as a whole. Penn Trafford's looking their wounds, trying to bounce back. Gateway, you know, they did that last week, looking to continue that this week. But again, you expect them to be at the top, and the rest would kind of be, you know, when's Woody High going to kind of emerge? The Northeast, with the way it's played out, honestly, I don't know, because we need to see a little bit more out of Penn Hills and PR before we make any judgments. You know, if it's just a rough start out in non-conference play, or are we talking, you know, maybe it's just a different year than what we're used to seeing. I mean, it's too early to tell. You know, then the Allegheny Six, we knew it's going to be a six-team wagon. It's going to be a barn burner every week. It's a matter of who could be playing their best football at the right time of the year, consistently, while staying healthy. Moons look the best in every phase so far, and it's, you know, it's something different. They're excited for it. And last but not least, the Quad County Conference in 6A. Mount Lebanon's 3-0, Baldwin's 0-3, literally everybody else is 2-1. Easy enough with that. I'm looking at, and they start conference play tomorrow. Mount Lebanon hosts Canaan Mac, Hempfield's at Seneca Valley, Baldwin versus NA, Norman's at Central Catholic. I mean, the Knights have put up some numbers, but the Vikings, I mean, yeah. I mean, if any doubt, the way they played the whole second half last week against PR, I think kind of sums it up. Gannon Crowder's a bad boy. They're at home. Central by a lot. Baldwin at NA, bad timing for Baldwin. NA's going to cruise. Hempfield and Seneca Valley, the Spartans are 2-1. They're making a little bit of noise, but Seneca Valley, they're 2-1 too, and they are beginning to really vibe. Two hard-fought wins in impressive fashion. I like Seneca Valley at home by a couple touchdowns. Mount Lebanon and Canamac. Canamac, if you're going to turn the corner, if you're going to be a serious contender, if you're going to make an actual push in the playoffs and try to do this thing, and it's going to be a five-team playoff, you know, if you play your cards right, have some things go your way, you could only need to win one game to get to the championship game. That's how it breaks down if you finished first, second, or third. You know, could they do it with a veteran team? Not this time. Mount Lebanon's too good. They're 3-0. They've dominated 3 weeks. It's their time to make a push. Again, the theme of today, I'm going to finish it off with this one more time. If not now, when? You're Mount Lebanon. You're 3-0. Don't mess around. Get the job done at home. I think they do that. Don't be surprised if KMAC puts some points and maybe puts a scare in it early, but I think Mount Lebanon's going to pull away second half and win by 2 touchdowns. Ryan Angett's a really good player. They got some really good talents and seniors on the team with him. Mount Lebanon, just, they got more talent, more depth, more experience, just a better team. And that's that. And again, 6A, you know, you expected Baldwin towards the bottom. You expect Mount Lebanon at the top. Central Catholic again. Oh, the week zero, which was a hard-fought physical game. It's a really loaded Imhotep team, I mean. You know, same thing you expect. NA, you know, they had a tough go in Ohio a couple weeks ago, but that's cool and all. Like, okay, they'll be fine. Seneca Valley's been the most eye-popping, because, you know, you just know what to expect out of them this year and how they've done it. With the late game wins, the big fourth quarters, but also the physical nature. And I think they've shown the most growth from the week zero struggle to now. so it's been kind of fun to watch. Kingdom Max, you know, kind of the most, Mount Lemon's electric, such a kind of, like, they were electric last week, but Kingdom Max, I think, is the kind of the most spark pluggy, if we're going to stay on that subject. So, that's kind of 6A right there. And the City League, nothing on Thursday. Friday's action tomorrow night, University Prep hosts Perry, City opener for both sides. You know, again, 1-0 is a big deal. Perry's, I mean, they gotta feel good about their playing, but I think University Prep is a little bit more depth, so that'll be the difference. And then looking at the, and we talked about Carrick, the independent there. Bear with me as I go to Saturday's schedule. Actually, there it is. So I don't see Brashear with a game this week. If I missed that, I apologize. But either way, they got to figure it out on the field how to score points. And then City Open, and then Saturday afternoon at Couples 3:45, Westinghouse hosts Allardyce in the Dragon City opener. Westinghouse already 1-0 in the City after the 35-0 win last week. Again, rematch of the title game. I like the Bulldogs. I think they're in the Dragon's head a little bit. Westinghouse is feeling good after a dominant win. And again, someone beats them, can't pick against them. So Westinghouse, but it should be a good game. Expect the Dragons to fight them for four quarters. It should be an entertaining game on a Saturday afternoon. And then actually, a non-conference game as well, 12:30 Saturday, in a 2-way, 3-way matchup. Western Beaver hosts Beaver. Both teams have two wins. Wyatt Ringer's a special player, but Western Beaver has more depth. I like the Golden Beavers at home to win this game to kind of keep building in the right direction for them. So that's a wrap. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. That's our breakdown as a course. Check us out. Our website is cover3athletics.wixsite.com/WestPA. It's cover, the number 3, athletics in the address bar. Our Twitter is at cover3_ATH. It's cover, the number 3, underscore, all caps, ATH. Facebook's cover3athletics. Instagram, TikTok, the same thing as well. So check us out on there. And covers any players who have highlight tape, game footage, any type of accolades on and off the field in the classroom or community they want us to share and get out there, DM us, tag us, tweet us. We'll be glad to help you out, share them, post them all over the place. You know, and again, we do stuff throughout the week, every week, with player spotlights, player of the weeks, retweeting, you know, simple stats or highlight tapes or other sources that cover Whitby football too that have numbers a little bit quicker than we get them, or they just have them so, you know, why retype it when you can just retweet it? You know, saves time, but also it's the same information anyways. And it's not about the credit as well. You know, so again, let us know, you know, we'll help. And of course, check out our power rankings available. Check out Brentero's World of Sports. It's our brother blog, whatever you want to call it. It's our blog it's on our website that basically has these spotlights and other kind of cool articles throughout the season. Check out our podcast, which is linked on our website as well as our Instagram, to listen to this episode and any of the other ones. As every week, we are here to recap the action by Monday or Tuesday, and probably somewhere around Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning, we'll talk about the upcoming week of games that are set for each Friday night. That'll be available somewhere Thursday night, Friday afternoon at the latest, to listen to it before kickoff, or listen to it right after on Saturday if you're bored and see how off or on we were. But yeah, that's what we do, so check us out, stay with us. Week 3 is here, conference play opens up, it'll be a lot of fun. Everyone, wherever you're going, wherever your plans are, be safe, have fun, be smart, enjoy yourselves. Week 3 of Whitby football is here. We'll talk next week, guys, take care.